WildTalkRadio.com.
Welcome, everyone, to Monday Night Raw.
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw post show.
So, what do you guys want to talk about?
Featuring Sir Rockin'.
It's just a man. What the Rock is cooking.
And Lindsay Ward.
Rest in peace.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
And if you're not down with that, we got two words for ya!
Because we believe in doing what is best for all of you.
Because after all, what's best for all of you is what's best for business.
Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
This is Monday Night Raw!
Burn it down!
Things got heated early on this edition of Monday Night Raw. This is the Raw Post Show, presented as always by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211 chat. If you have Amazon Prime, link to your Twitch account, it's called Prime Gaming. Support the channel by clicking the purple rectangular button below the screen. You can also use credit card Rocket Stock or Lindsay Ward in the Fortnite M shop when you buy all the spooky and Marvel and all and beyond Disney things, because hashtag epic partner. I'm the producer, that's Lindsay Ward.
We are into our Monday Night Raw two-hour era. They've, I think, figured it out, finally, at long last. Which, it's really only about 3 weeks, but still.
It had a really good pacing, did the show, and it got started right away as we saw all these different random people entering the building, including one Bronson Reed, who was then right away attacked by Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins then, you know, came storming to the ring, didn't even do his normal entrance, grabbed the microphone, challenged Bronson Reed to fight him right here in Philadelphia. Security and Adam Pearce came out, Bronson Reed then threw security around. They had a brawl, suicide dive, more pull-aparts. Reed dropped Rollins with a shoulder block from the top from the apron. We put Rollins on announce table. Rollins moved out of the way. And then security got everyone pulled apart. We continued later as he was talking, as Jackie Redmond was talking to Adam Pearce, trying to get the thing under control. Bronson Reed showed up, then was attacked by Seth Rollins. Rollins had jumped onto Bronson Reed before being pulled apart again. Just so much craziness. And then Adam Pearce was on the phone. Seth Rollins showed up. Bronson Reed attacked. And they were pulled apart again. And it will be Seth Rollins and big Bronson Reed at Crown Jewel. Thoughts? All the brawling.
So much brawling. But as I always say, I love when they do stuff like this, that it's like they can't be contained. They can't even be backstage together. They have to be pulled apart. There's so much animosity. They hate each other so much that they literally can't coexist. This is how it should be. If you're having like really hot and feuds like this, is that like they shouldn't be like just peaceably chilling backstage. It's like they should be going for each other. They should be trying to get at each other at any opportunity they can find. And this was really well done. This was very good. I just enjoy this type of stuff. It's because it's so simple. Yes. And it's so completely effective. Mm-hmm. Like every time they do it, it just works, right? Because it's like, yes, it adds that realism to it that they literally hate each other. It's like with Drew and Punk. They cannot be in the same building together. That is how much these two hate each other. And it's such a simple storytelling thing, but it works. It so works. And the same thing with Seth and Bronson. Now, do I want to see like pull apart brawls all the time? No, I don't. But when you have like really, really, really hot or heated feuds like this, you need to be doing things like this because it just helps to sell it.
Yes.
And that's what's important, is selling the fact that that there's animosity here. Mm-hmm. So I enjoyed this. I thought this was all really good.
It was an opening match. in the World Tag Team Championship Number One Containers Tournament.
Oh, well, before we get to that, we should probably talk about the change to Monday Night Raw.
And we'll dig deeper into it on Thursday. But yeah, Samantha Irvin is no longer with WWE, and the new ring announcer is Lillian Garcia.
Let's go!
So, she had a first blunder, but that was to be expected coming back the way she did. But it was New Day.
She only did what? 20? How long has she been gone? When did she leave?
Been like 10 years, 12 years?
It's been a hot minute, so we'll cut her a little slack. She was nervous.
It especially happened right when they were focusing in on her, too.
Mm-hmm.
When did she leave? She left in 2011, or she returned in 2011, left in 2016. Yes, it was 2016, I guess. So 8 years. Anyway, it was New Day. AOP in the one of the first round matches, New Day would end up getting the win. You had R-Truth get involved. You had Karrion Kross get involved, and then Truth was celebrating with Woods and Kofi, who then left. Truth was still celebrating. The Final Testament and The Miz started beating down R-Truth, and Kofi wanted to go help. Woods is like, no, we're good. And then the lights went down, and the Wyatt Six have returned. Nikki Cross dived on the Scarlet. Rowan, Lewis, Gacy all appeared, taking down the Final Testament. Miz was then getting ready to be attacked. Uncle Howdy showed up. Ellering shoved Miz out of the way and took the mandible claws. Miz fled out of the ring.
I'm not going to lie. This left me a little confused.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure how I feel about it. Like, it makes sense for the Wyatt Six and for Final Testament to butt heads, especially if they're going for the same person, because it's sort of the feud of the weird stables, like the creepy, spooky, kooky stables, that they should at some point meet and relatively quickly, since both of them are going for the same people. But yeah, I don't know how I felt about this. Like, ultimately it was fine, but it's like, I need follow-up on this, because I was a tad confused. It's like, why would they save Miz? Why would they help Miz? What is the motivation, you know?
Are they trying to save the Miz from being taken to the dark side? That's part of the story. And I don't get the story at all. I'm not sure how a feud benefits either team. One, it gets them on television, so that benefits both sides. Final Testament already irrelevant, and not sure what being them does for Wild Six. It gives them an opponent. It doesn't have to make sense. It can just be you beat some. You have another foe to beat down. They are a heel stable that needs to be taken down level. I mean, doesn't always have to make the most sense, but they'll tell you the story, because you know there is one. And it intertwines the New Day as well. But okay, New Day has been losing all the time. Final Testament already losing on a consistent basis. So does American Maid's been losing forever, and they still had they lost everything against the Wyatt family, and they're still relevant. So, and they were losing before that too, and they were still elevated. So there are many possibilities on how that could go. Speaking of them, it was the Rey Mysterio and Dragon Lee taking on Julius and Brutus. Rey and Dragon Lee got the win, advancing in the contenders tournament. I mean, they're still they're more relevant than they were 6 months ago when they started with the feud before the Wyatts. They were barely making television. Now they're on TV every week.
He has a point. Because this might be the thing that they used to make Final Testament,
or at least the AOP out of it. Because if you look at where Julius and Brutus were at the start of the year, they had all the hype and excitement going into the Royal Rumble match, tag title match, the start of the year. They lost. Then they were on the bench for 6 months. Now here they are on TV every week. Just because you lose doesn't mean you can't get over. And they're proving that they can get over. Should they have won being Raven and Dragon Lee? Yeah, because it would make a little bit more sense. But you're going to have, it's what, Riot and Dragon Lee versus New Day versus the War Raiders? That should be a good match. That should be a good match right there.
Match.
Yeah. So we'll see where things head there. The Io Sky and Kairi Sane were being interviewed by Jackie Redmond and talking about the upcoming match between Lash Legend and Jakarta Jackson on NXT. And they were interrupted by the giants of the NXT Women's Tag Team Division, Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez. Before I get into the promo, Liv was like 6 inches taller than Io and Kairi.
Thank you. I was sitting here and I was like, no, wait, Liv's not that tall.
I had to look Liv's it up. Only they're 2 inches apart.
How tall is Liv and how tall are Io and Kairi?
I looked up Io's 5'1", Liv's 5'3".
I was going to say, Liv is not that tall, but she was like towering. I think she had heels on. Or she
yeah,
had
shoes. Yeah, 100% had big boots on. Yes, big giant boots. 100%.
Because I was like, what the? Wait, what? What the fuck?
So they went back and forth for a little bit. Morgan said that she and Raquel held the titles before. Could all whenever they want. And, you know, they'll face Kairi and Io tonight on Monday Night Raw, which they did. And no contest.
Liv did not get the assless chaps memo.
She did not. Chikara and Lash got involved, throwing a whole match out. Rhea Ripley came out. She and Raquel battled for a little bit. She battled Liv for a little bit. Then she got her hands on Dom for a second until he got pulled to safety.
Always love to watch Rhea beat up Dom.
Always. Always here for it. Good stuff.
Very good stuff. All this was really entertaining. I enjoyed this.
It set up future matches with Liv and Raquel to put them in the tag division at some point. It set up Io and Kairi as strong contenders again. Everything worked.
And we're continuing the feud with Rhea. There's a lot of like combination feuds happening right now because they only have 2 hours. So it's like we're just going to weave different stories together and hope that it works. And in this case, it did. And plus, you're making Lash and her partner as well.
Yeah. They were backstage in the clubhouse. Raquel was fired on what she wants to do to Rhea Ripley. Morgan's like, we got to focus on Nia. Baylor said him and McDonough could beat any tag team in the world. Hangman also was concerned that Damian's going after the world title. Dom brought up that possibility he could beat Gunther for the title. Carlito laughed. And Raquel asked what Carlito does. And he brings the cool factor. He said he would speak to Pierce about Dom becoming world champion. And then he did. Pierce left and was asked was serious and like Dom hasn't done anything to earn the opportunity. What question why he didn't make the request? And Carlos said he's the fixer and then said he would consider it and if he could beat the former world champion next week. We then had Gunther being interviewed by Kathy Kelly and he talked up things and everything that's going to go down at Crown Jewel, bringing being number one and the first ever Crown Jewel champion, bringing prestige, honor, and all the different things. Dame Priest showed up, said he had no issues with Gunther. He handled his business with Judgment Now. He wants his title shot, but he'll earn it like everything else he has in his life. Priest told Gunther to handle his business at Crown Jewel, and then have a big problem waiting for him. And that all adds up to me being it's going to be Damien and Dom next week in a match to earn a title shot. That's just me.
Yeah, I think that's where we're going.
That's the way that one seemed, at least to me. So yeah, there was that. Jason, we were interviewing Jey Uso backstage. He said it was ironic in the city of brother love when he has no love for his brothers right now. He said it is what it was, and he'll defend his title tonight. And we would all still hear and still at the end of the night. It led to our main event of the show. It was Jey Uso, Bron Breakker for the Intercontinental Championship. Solid match between the two, but you had Solo and Jacob Fatu in the crowd. They had tickets. They got involved. The Tongans got involved. Solo was trying to help Jey at one point for a little bit. Jacob kind of wasn't. he dropped him on with a Samoan drop on the announce table, allowed Bron Breakker, who at one point speared Solo Sikoa, but Bron Breakker would end up becoming the new Intercontinental Champion. LeMans mentioned it made no sense. It made a lot of sense because now you're setting up Jay's reason for getting back into the title picture. He attacked Jey and not Bron. Yeah, that's the way it seemed. But it sets up Jey reasoning for looking for revenge. So he's not looking to help Roman, but he's going to be looking for revenge on Solo for costing him the title. So that gets him involved in that storyline a little bit more, even more than he was this past Friday, because he still wants no point of helping Roman. But now he has a personal reason to go after his brother and Jacob for costing him the title. So that adds to that. You knew once Jey was on SmackDown, the Bloodline were going to show up on Raw to kind of cost him because he disrespected the tribal chief and wouldn't acknowledge him. But Roman and Jimmy don't work Raw.
No, they don't.
They would have known not to have been there. Jimmy's not going to be on Raw. I know he was last week, kind of. Yeah, but they bought tickets. They showed up and they were a part of the crowd. They weren't there to wrestle. They were there to cause chaos. That was the reason for why they had tickets.
I don't think you have Roman and Jimmy help Jay just yet, because I don't think they're there with it. Like, they're getting there slowly with Jimmy in terms of Jay forgiving him, but there's going to be a lot. Roman's going to have to do a lot more before he earns Jay's forgiveness, because there's a lot of shit between them.
And I think I think Jimmy will help Jay before Roman does.
Yeah, I think they're playing a long game on that, because that's going to be another hug heard around the world moment where Jay finally forgives Roman and is like, you know, okay, all right, I'll help you, but purely for my own selfish reasons. And that's kind of going to be what it is, where it's like, I have no other choice. I have to work with you. I have to help you. I have to do this if I want to get what I'm looking for out of this. So I feel like it's going to be one of those situations.
Yeah, and Jay hasn't done anything to get in good graces with Roman, and he's not trying to. And that's and that's going to be the story that's told. He's not looking to get help Roman. He's just looking for revenge on his own. I think that's ultimately how they all come together. How they get their fourth, I don't know. No, he hasn't, and nor will Roman, because Roman still Roman Reigns, as we saw on SmackDown, where as much as he was going to acknowledge Solo, the real Roman Reigns comes out. He is obsessed with the power and will do anything to get it. So even though he feels like he's a changed man, he has not changed. So until he finally changes, Jay won't forgive him.
Mm-mm.
Because the old Roman is still in there, despite him trying to act like he's not. He's obsessed with getting the whatever the necklace is back and all the power that comes with it. That was wrong.
I thought this was good. There were a couple confusing moments, but there's some good storytelling there, and I enjoyed it. So overall, solid show. No complaints. And we forgot to mention it, though. The crown jewel title getting its own little, like, guard troop or like escort or whatever you want to call it, where it's like in the secure box and they're checking the box to make sure it's still in there, and then they're locking the box back up and carrying it backstage. They showed it at like the top of the show, and then I think they showed it later on.
But that's what championships are also used to create stories. Always have been, always will be.
But the thing about that is like, if at some point you can now sort of set Jay up for a title run for one of the bigger titles, if you want. Yeah, he didn't successfully defend it once. Yes, he did. Or he did?
He beat Woods.
Oh,
clean.
That's right. That's right. He did.
In the center of the ring.
But you can set him. He could always win it back. Like, he could always get the IC title back. He could always win, you know, one of the world titles. Like, there's a lot left in terms of, like, title runs that you could do for him, but the bigger story is the Bloodline stuff. And you don't need to necessarily have a title involved for that in order to tell that story. In fact, it simplifies things if there are no titles involved, where it's just quite literally a blood feud between family, and they're all just like at each other's throats, and they're all fighting, and it's like you have Jay and Jimmy and Roman all on the back foot, but they're on the back foot individually, and each is playing their own game and their own strategy to see how they can like one up Solo and take the power away from Solo. And it isn't until they realize the power of friendship or spite, whichever comes first, is the key to victory. And that's, they're going to have that journey, and that's what we're going to get to watch together, is that journey of the three of them coming together. And they've given Roman his motivation, they've given Jimmy his motivation, and now they just gave it to Jay. Where Jay's like, ah, oh, damn it, I gotta go after you now. Okay, fine.
And with that, that's been the Rumpo Show, live right here on Wild Talk Radio Network, Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, it's The Rack.
That's right. Tune in. We will have something. Plus news, notes, all your favorites. It's The Rack. Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on WallTalkRadio.com.
Fortnite's spookiest outfits tier list.
Ding!
That's what you came up with.
Yes, that is what I came up with.
So that's live Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. If his controller ends up working and he's healthy enough, Brent will be back Friday with me for GM Battles, and that we'll figure something out at some point down the road. Saturday night,
feel better, Brent.
We'll probably do game night at 10 p.m. Eastern, followed or something, and then followed by Steve Radio Live at 11:30 Eastern for the Roast of the Godfather Extreme, take two.
It's going to happen this time, we promise.
Sunday, it's WTR, Sunday at Wrestle Talk Radio at 10 p.m. Eastern. They will preview Crown Jewel. We'll be back next Monday for our Brawl Post Show live at 10 p.m. Eastern. It's at Wild Talk Radio. It's Facebook.com. It's Wild Talk Radio Network Chat. If you have Amazon Prime, link to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming Support Channel by clicking the purple rectangular button below the screen. You can also use credit card Rock and Sock or
Lynn's M Ward
in the Fortnite item shop or Epic Game Store. Why?
Because we are hashtag Epic Partners. You can follow me on most of the social medias at Lynn's Ward, LNSWD. You can check me out on Twitch, twitch.tv/Lynn's Ward. You can follow me on YouTube, youtube.com/@LynnsWard. And you can follow me on TikTok, Lynn's Ward Zero.
This has been the Raw Post Show, presented as always by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. We'll see you tonight, Thursday night for the rack. And right back here for the Raw Post Show every Monday night. Long airwaves, Wild Talk, Radio Network.
WildTalkRadio.com.